When did the matter of Ms. Still come to your attention?
It came to our attention last year in the fall, and Jasmine Still was one case, but was indicative of hundreds of other people who were stuck in the El Paso County Jail over a $55 fee. So we realized that this was happening in violation of the Colorado Constitution, and then realized that it wasn't just her, but involved about 200 other people as well.
That was going to be my next question. Had you heard her story before?
Well, we are very familiar, and one of the things that the ACLU tracks and attempts to battle every single day is this issue of people being behind bars only for the fact that they don't have access to, in a lot of cases, very small amounts of money. In the case of Jasmine Still and the other 200 or so individuals in El Paso County, they had been ordered released through a PR bond, which means that the court says you're not somebody who is a threat to public safety, you're not somebody who is a flight risk, so we're going to allow you to leave without the payment of money. But in this case, the jail still required a $55 supervisory fee, and that fee was a barrier for some 200 individuals to get out of jail. So even though the court had ordered their release without the payment of money, this $55 kept them in jail for days, weeks, in Jasmine's case, 27 days. But in the case of the 200 individuals, we tracked over 1,000 days in the jail because of this $55 fee.
How long has this been the policy of the county, and is there any way to identify what revenue has been generated as a result of its adoption?
Well, we know what expense it was, because each individual who's kept in jail, it costs about $100 a night. So when you think about over 1,000 days in the jail, for people who couldn't pay the $55 fee, each costing the county about $100 a night, you're looking at over $100,000. And so in a lot of ways, you're not collecting the $55 fee, and just this fee is costing the county every day hundreds or even thousands of dollars. And you have to recognize that El Paso County, like most all the jails in Colorado, is overcrowded and is struggling to find place to put people.
If memory serves, the numbers that I read suggested that $266,000 was spent incarcerating people over $16,000 in fines.
Yeah, that sounds right. We tracked it back over the course of several months, and I'm not sure exactly when it started. It was 183 people who were subjected to this policy. And what we have to recognize and really compliment the county on is the fact that once they heard about the policy, once they were made aware through the lawsuit, within a number of days, they reversed it, ended it, and then really sat down at the table and worked to make it right, not just for Jasmine Still, but also for the other 183 individuals who were impacted by it.
Would you consider what's happened here as practice in keeping with debtors' prisons, and weren't such dynamics outlawed like in the mid-1800s?
Definitely. I mean, it's a cruel and thoughtless policy, but one that is pretty indicative of how the system can work for a lot of people, which is that if you don't have access to money, and in a lot of cases, a very small amount of money for a lot of people who are middle class, when you think about $55, you think it's no big deal. But for those individuals who are the most impoverished, $55 could be equivalent to thousands or even millions of dollars. It's just money you don't have access to. And there are so many cases in Colorado and around the country where people are behind bars, not because of anything other than the fact that they don't have access to small amounts of money. And you know, when you look at our criminal justice system, you have to remember that pretrial detainees are people who have not yet had their day in court, which means they're innocent in the eyes of the law. And in most cases, when they're in jail pretrial, and most of the people in jail right now in Colorado, we're talking thousands of people who are pretrial, are only in jail because they don't have access to money to bail out.
Given the fact that in one instance the court authorized a waiver of this fee, but officials with the sheriff's office implied the judge lacked the authority, should folks be concerned about something of a power struggle between law enforcement and judicial entities?
Well, we want to make sure that everyone in the criminal justice system is working together and working within the bounds of the Constitution and our laws. And what we see in a lot of cases is the reason why some of these things slip through the cracks is because in the lower levels of our criminal justice system, specifically the municipal courts, a lot of times these are defendants who are in there for very, very minor offenses, what we would consider essentially nonviolent status type crimes like the urban camping ban or trespass or curfew, park hours, minor possession, public intoxication, these types of things that are very minor, and they end up in the municipal court because they're so minor. But in the municipal court is the place where you sometimes have the least access to representation. You have the least access to people who can really look for these civil liberties violations and violations of the Constitution and the law. They're the places where we a lot of times see some of the worst violations. So we've been working at the ACLU to correct that as much as we possibly can, whether it's through the legislature or through litigation.
I've been talking with John Krieger, Communications and Advocacy Director for the American Civil Liberties Union of Colorado. For more information, you can visit their website at aclu.co.org. For KGNU, this is Robin Ryan.